So let me ask you the same question they asked Jesus in the gospel today. Will only a few people be saved? What do you think? And by saved, we mean go to heaven, right? So will only a few people be saved? Some people be saved? All will be saved? Just you and your family be saved? Just the people at 6 p.m. be saved? You know, who will be saved? Will only a few people be saved, right? This is the cause of division for many, many Christians. People interpret this very differently depending on where you're at, what your belief is. For some, one camp will say, well, if you just profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just say it, do an altar call. I believe it. I believe so. And that faith alone, that's all you need. You're good to go. Admission into heaven. Another camp will say, well, your faith is important, but your faith also needs to be demonstrated through your works and your actions. Another camp will say, well, it doesn't matter, faith or no faith, work or no work, you know, it's a lottery system, right? It's called predestination. It's already been set for you, right? That's a wide range of interpretation of how we understand this concept of how we are saved, or will only a few people be saved, right? And it's that balance between how much do we have a God of love, and how much do we have a God of justice? And even in the Catholic Church, we've kind of shifted in terms of culturally of how we interpret this, right? Where maybe if you're like, you know, if you were alive in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, before pre-Vatican I and II, right? Maybe if you did something wrong, if you said a bad word, what would the priest or nun tell you? Oh, I can't believe you did this, X, Y, and Z. You will go to hell, right? And then now, fast forward 2019, I think we're in the other extreme, where it doesn't matter what you do, everybody go to heaven. Everybody's good peoples, everybody go to heaven. Right? There's something in between, folks. And that's what I want to talk about. Generally, if you are a parent, or if you are at the workplace, if you're a manager, if you have people working under you, would you rather be loved or would you rather be feared? If you had a choice, would you rather be loved or would you rather be feared? And which is a greater motivator, right? What do you think? Most people choose, I'd rather be loved. You'd rather be loved. So you'd rather be loved means a lot. Like, let's say I was working for you, so I can come to work and you love me. I cannot come to work, you still love me. I can do the job, you love me. I can do a horrible job and lose $1 million for the company, and you still love me. How does that sound like? Sound like a deal? Sound like a deal to me. Bad deal for you, right? If you are only loved, people don't take you seriously. And people actually take advantage of you. You agree? But if you're only feared, they do things just out of fear so they don't get in trouble. And there's no love. But actually, those two things, love and fear, they go together in balance. Love and fear go together, just like as parent, hugs and discipline go together, just like salvation and damnation go together. It's not one or the other. A good priest friend of mine, Father Khan, he's living in Hawaii. I visit him every year. And he's just celebrated his 25-year anniversary as a priest. And I said, hey, you know, you're on 25, I'm on 8 or 9, something like this in between, right? And I said, you know, just, will you get some wisdom for me? You know, tell me something that I don't know, you know? And he says, well, I got one thing for you, Steve. Don't take life so seriously, but don't take God for granted either. What he means by that is, hey, smile, enjoy life. God is love. He loves us no matter what. Yet, don't abuse his love. Don't take God's love for granted either. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. What does that mean? What is that narrow gate? How much weight do I need to lose to fit into that? You know, what's the waist size limit to fit into that narrow gate? How narrow is it, right? And he kind of gets serious. Jesus says, after the door is locked, you will stand outside knocking and asking, Lord, open the door for us? And he will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. Right? That's a little something like this, where if a stranger, especially at nighttime, would you open the door for a stranger at nighttime? No, that's not a good idea, right? Because if you don't know this person, right? But how about this? Let's say the boyfriend kind of did you wrong a little bit. You know, let's say he forgot the Valentine's Day gift. He forgot the anniversary. He forgot to even mention it. Or maybe it's something serious. Maybe he was kind of mean to you. Or maybe he cheated on you. Something. He's in the doghouse, basically, right? He's in the doghouse, did something wrong. And you get angry. And then maybe a day or two later, he kind of knocks at the door. Are you going to open? You going to open the door? No? Yes? Most likely, you will open the door, but not right away. Right? Not right away. It's like, oh, I'm going to make him suffer. I'm going to make him, if it's cold, I'm going to make him stand outside. If it's hot, I'm going to make him sweat it out a little bit. He's got to suffer a little bit. You know, he's got to learn from what he did. Right? And then, maybe the third knock or the fourth knock, he says, hey, I'm really sorry. I just take me back. Okay, here we go. Right? That's kind of what's going on in the gospel, right? To the question, will only a few people be saved? Jesus says, blank to enter through the narrow gate. What's that word? Strive to enter through the narrow gate. And I want to focus on that word strive. That word strive comes from the Greek word agonizomai. Sounds Japanese, you know? It actually is Greek. It means to agonize. The word strive comes from the Greek word to agonize. And in the end, when we knock on the door to salvation, the question will be asked, have we strived to enter through the narrow gate? Have we agonized the depths of God's love? The same way that boyfriend standing outside is agonizing. What does the agonizing look like? You know, like, please open the door. My bad. Take me in. Right? That takes agonizing. This is different from knocking on the door with the concept of, I just knock, she's going to open the door anyway, no matter what I do. She just, you know, like it's guaranteed. Heaven is not guaranteed. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me that heaven is not guaranteed? Yes, it is not guaranteed, right? Nor is it the other way where you just knock on the door and you got like a list of resume, like a 10-page resume. Oh, I'd have done this, I'd have done that, and I've been a good person. I was nice to my family, and I gave money to all these organizations, and I did all the Ten Commandments. Does that get you into heaven? I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. Because salvation is not earned either, right? It's not, I just followed Matthew 25. When I was hungry, I gave people food. I gave people drink. I visited the jail. That alone is not guaranteed salvation. In the end, we're not saved by works alone. It is through God's grace. And therefore, the criteria is actually strive to enter through the narrow gate. And what does strive mean again in Greek? Agonize, right? And it's a little something like this, where let's say you're an athlete. You're an athlete, okay? And, I don't know, soccer, right? Are you satisfied just being on the JV soccer team? Let's say you're a junior or senior in high school. It's like, yeah, JV soccer team. That's the way to go. Obviously, you want to be on the what team? You want to be on the varsity team. And what's it going to take for you to be on the varsity team? You have to work at it. You have to make sacrifices. You have to agonize over this. Yes? Yeah. Let's say you're just starting out, you know, you finish school, you get yourself a job, you know, maybe it's like an entry job, maybe you make 50, 60K, something like this. Living, you don't have enough money to live on your own, so you live with your parents. Are you satisfied with that? This is the life. This is the life. I'm living with my parents, and I'm going to be 70 years old. I'm going to still live with my parents. And I'm going to make that 50K. That's my goal in life. There's nobody who thinks that's your goal in life. You want to work at it. You want to work your way up. Maybe you want to, you know, get a master's degree, or you want to, you know, be a manager one day. You want to get your own house. You want to have your own family. Get that 2-car garage. Yes or no? Yeah. But in order to get there, you have to work at it. You got to sacrifice. You got to hustle. You have to agonize over these things, right? Should be no different in our spiritual lives, right? We're the boyfriend knocking at the door, right? And that striving to enter the narrow gate, that agonizing is summed up in one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit called fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is something like, you know, growing up, I had so much respect for one of my teachers that I never wanted to disappoint this teacher. So I strive to do my best to be accountable for my work. And that mattered to me more than any grade I got, right? Or a spouse saying, I love my husband, I love my wife so much. I fear the day that one of us will die and be separated from each other. So you live each and every day with unconditional love for each other, not taking any moment for granted, not taking God's love for granted, with so much respect for God's love. And, you know, maybe for some of us, like, well, but I don't like this language of I'm not guaranteed heaven. I don't like this because I thought about God of love and God loves us all the time, da 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 da, okay? Think of it this way. As parents, what would it look like if all you did was love your children? I know you love your children, don't get me wrong, right? But what would it look like if 24/7 all you do is love your children? That's what my mom did to me. Look how I ended up. Piece of work. You know, if is that good parenting advice? Hey, little son, hey, little daughter, do whatever you like. I love you. I love you. Bessos love you. You can do your homework. You don't have to do your homework. You can wake up at 1 p.m. You do whatever you like because I love you so much. My precious. Oh, I love you. You could do one around. You could do whatever you like. You could play video games all day. You know, you could do drugs. You could do alcohol. Whatever you like. I love you so much. Give me a hug. I feel sorry for the kid. Does anybody here actually think that's good parenting advice? No, obviously not. Sometimes you gotta draw the line in the sand. I love you so much, but you know what? This is not gonna work for you. I need you to do your work. I need you to eat those greens, okay? Those carrots are actually good for you. I need you to do X, Y, and Z, right? You gotta strive to be a better person. You gotta strive to do your homework. Yeah? Then why should it be any different in our relationship with God the Father? Who is your daddy? Who's our daddy? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Most Holy Trinity. So if you think it's bad parenting advice to just love your children 24/7, it's also bad theology to understand God as just, oh, he just loves me no matter what I do. Yes, he loves you no matter what I do, but he also wants us to strive. He wants us to be that boyfriend knocking on the door. I'm a sinner. I need help. Please open the door. Because heaven's not guaranteed. But nor is it earned through my merits either. So that's your homework this week, to have this concept, this understanding of what it means. You know, will only a few people be saved? The answer, the criteria is strive to enter through the narrow gate. Agonize. Fear the Lord. And one of the best descriptions, I think, of fear of the Lord is when we say the act of contrition. There's many versions of it, but one version is, you know, I'm sorry, da 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 da, for offended. I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they have offended you, or thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. That is fear of the Lord right there. That is agonizing with fear and trembling of my salvation. We are saved by faith and works together in balance. So I want you to think about that this week for your homework. Like for me, I know I'm in the middle of transition with my I have a spiritual director. He's a Jesuit priest. He was my professor and my advisor in college. But he ditched me. So he's doing some other work over in Rome. So, you know, and I usually just go to confession to him. But, you know, he's gone, right? So I haven't been to confession in a couple months. So I have to get back on the saddle. I got to do some what? Agonizing. I got to knock on the door because salvation is not guaranteed. I got to work at this, you know? So for you, what does that look like? What does it look like for me to not take heaven for granted, nor is it earned? What does it look like for me to strive to enter through the narrow gate, to agonize over this, right? To instill in me a fear of the Lord, to grow in my faith.